the second coming of Christ. Hey, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the days of the Son of Man. Noah had none but his family. If it's just this family right here, so be it. We're one family in Christ, one body in Christ. Acts chapter number 1 tonight's where we're going to start with this. I'm going to try to get through these two tonight and give us some encouragement about the second coming of Christ. We believe in the intimate. Hey, that means it's any time now, okay? Intimate. We believe in the intimate, personal, pre-tribulational, premillennial return of Jesus Christ for those that are saved. It's coming. It's coming. Quickly. Did you get everybody? Did you get Brother Joe?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Who's a picture of the church in the time of Noah? No, in the time of Noah. Who's a picture? I guess I'm the only one that gets candy out of this one then. Who's a picture of the church in the time of Noah?
Noah.
No.
Noah the first. Peter.
Christian Jennifer.
Seth.
Enoch is a picture of the church. I don't think you deserve anything. And it's a picture of the church in the Old Testament in the time of Noah. Enoch walked with God and he was not. That's a picture of the church. Noah's a picture of what?
Ark.
No. What's Noah a picture of?
Judgment.
Noah's a picture of who? The Jew. He's a picture of the Jew. Who is going through the tribulation?
The Jew.
But they'll be protected. The ark is a type of Christ protecting the Jew. During the tribulation, the Jew will go through the tribulation because they're not saved. But the 144,000, this is when God goes back to the Jew, to the apple of God's eye. God transitions back to the Jew. The 144,000 Jewish men will go throughout the world preaching the gospel. And God will protect the Jew during the tribulation, just as God used the ark to protect Noah. Noah is a type of the Jew. Enoch is a type of the church. That's how you people say, because when people say, why are we believing the return of Christ pre-tribulation? Because Enoch is a type of the church. Who else in the Old Testament is a type of the church besides Ruth? He's a very carnal man. Very carnal man. Y'all gonna be upset when I tell you. His name's only three letters long.
Saul,
not three letters. Lot. Lot is a picture of the church also. Before judgment could fall on Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot had to come out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham, in that sense, you could see is the type of the Jew, because Abraham was safe away from what was going on in his destruction. But Lot was a picture of the carnal Christian, which is what we're in. We're in the Laodicean church age, which is the church age of carnality. We see it. That's why our church ain't full. Not because of anything we're doing. We're doing exactly what the Bible says to do. That's why I said don't get discouraged. If we put on contemporary music and put a bunch of carnality in here and judge any kind of dress standards, we could fill this place up, but I'm not doing that. Lot is a picture of the carnal Christian. We're in the Laodicean church age. When you look at the book of Revelation, yes, there was those churches there in Asia Minor, but those churches also represent church ages. And we are in the final church age, the Laodicean church age, which is the very carnal Christians. And if you want to know what kind of, go read in Revelation 3 and you'll see what that's about. And that's where we're at. So anyway, that's extra. So that's why we know that we are taken out of here. That's why we are pre-tribulation. Because when you look in the Old Testament, before judgment fell, Enoch was taken out. Before judgment fell, Lot was taken out.
Again, Lot's not a picture, can't be a picture of the Jew because he was, what did Lot produce? We just talked about it Sunday night. He produced the Moabites. And actually, I think he's the Edomites. Maybe one of the Edomites. No, no. The Ammonites. And it starts with, it's one that starts with an A, I think now. Anyway,
some Jews are converts.
There are converted Jews, as Brother Paschal. And Brother Paschal will save Jews. Work to see Jews get saved. Yes, there are some Jews that are saved. Somebody told me there is a congregation in Wichita. That's what I was told. I've never looked into it. Of Jews that are saved Jews that believe pretty much exactly what we believe. But it's a Jewish congregation.
So is there converts that are Gentiles?
Yeah.
I mean, we're Gentiles, but are there people that are converted to Gentiles from something else?
No, Gentiles is anybody that's not a Jew. We are all, anybody that's not of a Jewish heritage or Hebrew heritage is a Gentile. Whether they're from the, Shem, Ham, or Japheth, anybody can be one of them. But even though the Jews come through Shem, which is where the Semites, is that right? That's how you say it. Yeah, the Asians come from. They are still considered Gentiles, even though they came from the same son of Noah. You don't see the first Jew technically until Jacob.
So if
Isaac, a lot of people look at Isaac as a Jew, but if Isaac was a Jew, that would make also Esau's kid, Esau and his kids Jews, but they're not. So Jacob would be the first really born of the Jew or Hebrew lineage.
So if, Hitler didn't want to kill the Jews, would he want to kill the Jews that were converted from something else?
If you converted from, we say he killed the Jews, and he did kill the Jewish, but here's where the distinction is. Yes, Hebrew is technically would be the race. Jew would be the religion. If you made that distinction. A lot of people don't make that distinction. They'll call them Jews, but technically Hebrew is the race. Jews is the religion, the Jewish religion. Judaism is actually the religion. Because any of us, not us, we're saved, but any person can convert to Judaism from anything. The Bible, even in the Old Testament, gave there's ways that strangers could convert. But if you were a stranger, if you were a Gentile and you converted to Judaism, your descendants are still not allowed to go into a certain part of the tabernacle until it's either the fifth or the tenth generation.
Okay, so put it this way. If you went and did a DNA test,
yeah,
and found out you were
part Jew,
German, part European, is there a test that says you're part Jew?
There are people that say they are, yes. You could.
I mean, I didn't know if Jewish was a...
It may say Jew or it may say Hebrew, but as I'm saying, I don't know how those would work, but Hebrew technically is the race, but we do call them Jews, use Jews as the race too.
There's not one that's going to say you're a Gentile.
No, you're going to be white, European, you're going to be black, African, I don't know how, like I said, I've never taken one. I'm not taking one. I don't want my DNA on record. You never know what may catch up with you.
People that were born of Jewish descent.
Yeah.
Versus people that could have been converted to Jews that have no Jewish descent.
Well, there's a big sect of blacks, Ethiopians, that have converted to the Jewish religion. They say, they claim that they're the rightful Jews, but they're not. They can't be because they're not. Jews are not white. Jews are not black. They're a light brown-skinned race, technically, is what they really are. Because, like I said, they're a mix between...
So basically, they're Asian.
Yes, they're
Asian.
They come from Shem, the race of Shem, which is where all the Asian race came from. And so they are more of a dark skin technically. But they do get classified as whites, but they're not. They're not technically white. And yes, they would get dark. Anyway, all right, I got to move on now. I had wasted, got Joe going on something else. All right, we believe, where are we at? Jesus, for those that are saved, and at the moment of death, at the moment, the dead in Christ shall be raised in glorified bodies. The living in Christ shall be changed at a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. Now, this is where I thought this was interesting. And again, I try not to get caught up in stuff. But, and shall be called up to meet the Lord in the air. That last trump, I heard a guy, found a guy on YouTube. I know, it's been way too much time on YouTube, y'all. There's this guy on YouTube, he did a really good study. That he believes that last trump, when you look at, I think it's the Feast of Tabernacles. No. There's a certain feast anyway. There's a certain feast, Jewish feast, that they blow the trumpet 100 times. It's in the fall. It's around September. So this man said that he believes well, that's why it says at that last trump, that he believes that God, you know, it says no man knows the hour, no man knows the day, but who's to say that God didn't tell us that this, you know, that it's going to happen that per se when that last trumpet comes on that Feast of Tabernacle? No man knew the hour of the day at that time, but he gives the scripture after that, gives these references. Anyway, I thought it was interesting because, you know, when you think, when they're blowing the trumpet, why would it say at the last trump? Why would it say that? Unless there's more than one trumpet blowing, why would you say at the last trump? And so that was what this guy's theory is that it's going to be on that feast. I could look it up, but I can't remember what it is. But anyway, I thought that's pretty interesting. But let me go through this now. So we're talking about his return. Acts 1:11 says, these are the angels talking to the disciples, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And so the angels testified to the men that Jesus was coming back the same way that he left, and which is in the moment. The blink of an eye, it was so fast. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. It was so fast that it happened just right in front of them. I mean, you imagine, they're standing there talking to the Lord, right? And he just goes up like that, and they're all looking up, just gazing up, going, what just happened? You know, like you and I would have been, I mean, we would be the same way. Somebody standing right in front of me, and you, not just, he didn't disappear, he goes up, and you're, and the angels appeared and said, but you men of Galilee, why stand? He's coming the same way that he went just like that. So much so. 1 Corinthians 15 says in verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. When somebody, one of our loved ones that has died in Christ, they died because of what? Why did they die? Because of sin. They died because of corruption. So we've sown them in corruption, but they're going to raise incorruptible. They're going to get a glorified body. That's what this is talking about. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Skip on down to verse number 51 now. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. So we know that the rapture, according to what Paul is writing, there is going to be something that happens. If somebody to completely deny the rapture is denying what Scripture says. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. When that moment comes, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and shall be changed. Just like that, man, we're going to put on a glorified body. No more lower back pain. No more glasses, brother. No more heart issues. I don't know. No, just no more. We'll all be changed. We'll be, those of us that are saved, we'll put on an incorruptible body, raised incorruptible. The trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So that's what the Bible tells us. Go to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 20. Philippians 3:20. Again, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things, even unto himself. Brother, I don't know how it's going to be in heaven, but that diabetes is going to be gone. For all we know, he may have a baptismal size Reese cup for you to dive in and just swim around in, or whatever it is. I'd say he likes Reese cups because he gets them sugar-free ones we got under here for it. You better dive into a Reese cup and just swim around all day long. I don't know. You can dream big, though, without not having to worry about diabetes anymore, can't you? That'll be, hey, one of these days, this vile body, this decaying body is going to be changed. 39 years old, man, and I still feel young some days. And some days I'm going, what's going on here, man? What is? Today I felt that way. I leaned over, I dropped a screw down the sink at work today. There's these little stainless steel screws that go in the machine that we make the brats and the pepper sticks and all with, and there's a piece in there that you have to take the screws out, and we have to clean it off. Dummy meat, set the piece in the sink, sprayed it all, the meat off of it, and usually I take it back out and set it on the cart just in case to pull the screws out. Well, I didn't do that, and the screw fell right into the sink. So I said, I was like, Chris was like, don't worry about it, I just try to go find another one. Well, these aren't special, you know, these aren't something you just probably pick up anywhere. They gotta be stainless steel. It's gonna have to have the right head on it, because where it goes in the machine is in a moving part. So anyway, I drained the middle sink, and when I drained the middle sink, it pushed the screw back up toward the other sink where you could finally see it. And for about an hour, we sat over that sink trying to dig that screw out. If we just had, my dad's got this little thing about this long, and it's got a little button on the end of it. It's got a claw that comes out and grabs. You got one of them?
Yeah, with the light on the end of it.
I could have used that, and I could have been done in 2 minutes. We sat there for an hour, and by the time we got done, we finally got that screw out of there. My back was pinching, and it was, oh. And I thought, that's what I was thinking about. Man, I just can't wait to get me a glorified body and not have to worry about this lower back pain. Revelation 19 real quick, and then we'll get into the other one. We still got a good time. Revelation 19, verse number 11. Revelation 19, verse number 11 through 16. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. We're gonna ride by it. How many in here has actually rode a horse? You ain't rode no horse. Oh, yeah, y'all did. Some of y'all did. That's right. That brother, brother Caleb, brother Turner's brought that one. Am I the only one in here, Bonnie? You ain't rode no horse. Me and you, the only ones, huh? You rode a horse? Did you ride a horse?
Yeah, I rode it. Us three rode it.
Maggie, Bonnie, I knew you was my favorite. I have never, I know this in the South, a lot of people, because the way I talk and grow the way I was raised up on the farm, I have never, to my knowledge, ridden a horse. Unless I was young and my mom and daddy did it, and I don't remember, I have never ridden a horse. Okay? I don't know if I get to ride one before I leave this place. With my lower back, I don't think I want to anyway. But anyway, You're going to listen. He said, we're going to be riding white horses. Behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness, he doeth judge and make war. And listen, it says in verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. Hey, we all getting a beautiful white horse. And as one preacher said, these horses have been bred in heaven, made in heaven. You can sit between his ears and ride. If you won't do it, he ain't going to buck you off. I can't wait, man. I've never rode a horse, and if I don't get to in this life, at least I know I'll get to in the next life, brother.
I think at the Grand Canyon you can ride a mule. And they know they can walk those roads.
I don't think I'll be going to the Grand Canyon because my wife will be trying to get me on some pack mule trying to thing. Hey, we'll be riding horses. So, so at least we know one thing we get to do in heaven. We get to have a horse. You get to have your own horse. If you're saved, if you get saved and come back, you get to ride a horse. He says, verse number 11, or verse 12, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's what we get. We get a white robe. Hey, one day we'll put off this corruptible body. We'll put on incorruptible. We'll get a beautiful white robe. I just wonder. I don't think we'll even have to wash that thing. It'll just stay white all the time, man. That'll be nice, won't it? You know, I have to wash clothes. He says, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. That, what is that? That's the Word of God. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron and treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Verse 16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So he's got a white robe on that's dipped in blood, and on that thigh written right there, on his thigh, on the vesture, is written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Okay? He is my King and my Lord. He first became my Savior. After he became my Savior, he's become my King and my Lord. There ain't nobody else. Man, I can't wait. I don't know how it is, but I know that when I close my eyes in death, I'm just going to know that that's him. I've never seen him. I've never seen him. I don't know if it'll be because we'll see the print in his hands and his feet, or if God's just going to put it on us to know that that's him. But I know that when I close my eyes in death, I'm going to know that that's him when I see him. I can't wait. And we get to come back with him. We get to come back with him. That's the second coming of Christ. That is when Christ comes back to rule and reign for 1,000 years, and we get to come back with him. Now, next, that's of the second coming of Christ. Next, of the saved and lost. We believe that heaven is a literal, eternal place prepared of God, a place of eternal joy and happiness for those who are saved by the grace of God. Now, I do want to say, I believe that heaven is an eternal place right now. And this is one of the things I'm kicking around. I believe heaven is an eternal place and how it has right now. But I also know that the Bible tells us that he is going to make a new heaven and a new earth when he remakes this earth. So we say that heaven's eternal, and I believe God's made it eternal, but I also believe for whatever reason he's going to remake heaven. I don't know how much better you can make heaven, but they're going to make it better. God's going to make it better in some way, shape, or form. God's going to make heaven better. But anyway, I believe here it says that we believe heaven is a literal eternal place prepared of God, a place of eternal joy and happiness for those who are saved by the grace of God. We believe in a literal, eternal, horrible place of suffering and punishment, a place of literal burning fire prepared for the devil and his angels, where all those who refuse God's grace and remain in their lost condition shall abide forever. eternally separated from God. At death, the lost go to hell, and eventually when death and hell are cast into the lake of fire where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and the worm dieth not, so too will those who have rejected Christ be cast into the lake of fire at the great white throne of judgment. Go to Luke chapter 16. Most of you know these verses here, so I won't have to spend much time on this. This is hell right here. This is the story of the rich man. This is a true story. I believe that because Jesus said a certain man's name. Luke chapter 16, verse number 19. There was a certain man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Now he uses, there was a certain rich man, and he tells the name of Lazarus. He does not tell the rich man's name. I think I misspoke a minute ago. He does not tell the rich man's name. He tells Lazarus' name. But he says there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. Now this is why a lot of people say this is a parable. This is a parable. No, in parables he does not give names. This is not a parable. This is an actual story of a rich man that died, went to hell, and a beggar that died and went to paradise. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. And now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren. This is another reason that we know this is not a parable. Jesus gives this thing, and he says that the rich man cried out to send somebody to his father's house. He said, I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. If the Old Testament, Moses and the prophets are not enough to persuade you of Jesus Christ and the need to repent of your sins, you won't believe in Jesus resurrecting from the grave. That's what Abraham told that rich man. He said, if they won't hear Moses and the prophets, you won't be persuaded if one rose from the dead. That was prophetic at the time, because Abraham was prophesizing to that rich man that Jesus was going to resurrect from the grave, and that they ain't going to believe him either. So that's hell, and that's the description of the rich man in hell. Go with me to John chapter 14 now. John 14, here's the place for us, those of us that are saved tonight. John 14. John 14, verse 1. Hey, I know we're having a rough time right now. Here's some comforting words. Maybe I'll preach this on Sunday. Let not your heart be troubled. Thank you, Jesus, for them words. I need them right now. You believe in God? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Believe also in me. I do, Jesus. I believe in you. In my Father's house are many mansions. By the way, this is where the King James Bible is different than others. The Bible says, In here, it says many mansions in this King James Bible. Most modern Bibles translate that as rooms. I don't know about you, but there's a big difference between a mansion and a room. Well, it says in Father's house are many mansions. That's right. My Father's house, I don't know about where your Father lives, but my Father lives in heaven. That's His house. That's His house, is heaven. And so it says, in His house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. He's coming to prepare. He's coming. He's coming to get us real soon. He's coming back. And if you're here, you're not saved tonight, you better get saved. You better not put it off, because I'm telling you what, you ain't going to like the other place. I'm getting a mansion. I get to walk on the street of gold. I get to talk with Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. I get to talk with the Old Testament prophets. I get to talk with the New Testament saints. I get to talk to David. I get to talk to Solomon, and even Samson, who's may not been the most the best Christian example there is. One day we're going to a place called heaven, those of us that are saved. Because Jesus said, I go to prepare a place, and if I go to prepare a place, I will come again. And He's coming again soon. 21 years, and I still believe it. 21 years is nothing in the sight of God. To the Lord Jesus Christ, since He's left this earth, it's only been almost 2 days. That's it. To us, it's been 2,000 years. But the Bible says to the Lord, 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is 1,000 years. So time means nothing to God. It means something to us. But to the Lord, it's only been 2 days since He left this earth. And He's coming back soon. Coming back real soon. When you look at this time, that's why... By the way, that's why we believe the earth is 6,000 years old. We believe, according to the Bible, when you figure it up, the earth is around 6,000 years old. But also because the Bible says that 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is 1,000 years. Because when you say that the earth is 6,000 years old, getting ready to trip 6,000 years old, what's the seventh day? A day of rest. What's fixing to happen after the tribulation? The 1,000-year millennial reign, which is 1,000 years of rest. That's why we believe the earth is 6,000 years old, because according to the week that God set in Genesis, it's only been a week. It's not even been a week to Him. It's only been right at 6 days since He created this earth in His mind. And so when you look at it that way, and you realize that 1,000-year millennial reign represents the Sabbath day, that there'll be 1,000 years. And then, that's why we believe in the eighth day. We come to church on the eighth day, the new beginning. After the 1,000-year millennial reign, there'll be a new beginning, and eternity will begin. After that, there'll be no more time. That's when the judgment, the great white throne of judgment, will take place at the end of the 1,000-year millennial reign. The devil will be released for a short time to deceive the nations, unfortunately. Then Christ will wipe out this earth, make a new heaven and a new earth. Then the great white throne of judgment will take place. All those that rejected Christ will be cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet are. Go with me now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Hey, I'm not worried. I believe what the Word of God says. And I believe He's coming back for me. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, we are confident. I say, we are confident. I'm confident. Hey, our hope is not the hope like what I told you, not like the world uses the word hope. Our hope is it's like we're already there. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's what we want, those of us that are saved tonight. I love my wife, love my family. But as I see this world continue to get worse and worse, I'm just ready to go to my heavenly home. And I hope that if you're here tonight, you're lost. You better get it settled. Better become to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1:4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You can go back and read that those other verses, but that's the verse that we put in here. We've got an inheritance coming. I hate to be the bearer of bad news for y'all, but if you want an inheritance from me and your mom, in case you ain't figured it out, you ain't getting one. But I've got an inheritance in heaven. I've got a mansion waiting on me. I've got rewards. I've got a few crowns waiting on me. I told y'all before, I'm not looking for the martyr crown, brother. I don't know about you, but I'm not looking for the martyr crown. But I at least get the shepherd's crown because I've pastored. I get the soul winner's crown because I've helped win people to the Lord. I'm trying to think what the other ones are right now. Those are the three that I can always remember. Do you remember? There's one. Yeah, that's the soul winner's crown. One, listen, for witnessing, winning people to the Lord. There's a shepherd's crown for those that pastored. And so there's the martyr's crown. There's the crown, I think it's called the crown of righteousness, which is one basically you endure and you stay faithful all the way to everyone in here can win that crown. It just means that you stay faithful all the way to the end. Don't get sideways. Don't get out of sorts with God. Every one of us can win that. Unfortunately, we know people tonight that won't receive that crown. Paul said, henceforth, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness because he endured. Hey, it may not be to the end of our life. It may just be till the rapture comes. But it may be till the day I die. I don't know. But I want to be found faithful. The last thing I want to do is quit when I'm so close to the end. I believe we're right here at the end. And there's something, an incorruptible reward waiting for me. Go with me now. Last place, Revelation, back to Revelation 20. Or Revelation 20 now. We're in 19. Revelation 20. Revelation 20 down to verse 10. Revelation 20, verse 10. If you're here tonight, you're lost. You better listen to what this says. The devil. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. Not according to your good or your bad, because the Bible says that there is none good, but according to the sins that you'll answer to God for. According to the books of your life, that book of life will be there to show you your name was not written in the book of life. Those that are not found written in the book of life, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If you're here tonight and you've not called upon the name of the Lord, I do not want to see that on the day of judgment. I don't want to see any family member or anybody that I've preached the gospel to, or even anybody that I tell you, brother, I don't even have any enemies that I know of. But if I did, I still wouldn't wish for them to die or go to hell, to be cast into a lake of fire someday. There is nobody that I know of that I want to see. I know some people, well, I think this person should, I think that person should. Hey, we all deserve to go to hell, because we're all sinners in need of the Savior. And Christ died for the sins of the whole world. There was not a person born that was predestined to hell in the lake of fire. Now, there are sins we talk about. The sin, the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is the only sin that's not forgiven, that cannot be forgiven. But there's not a person on this earth that could not have been forgiven of their sins before they got to that point and been saved, before they got to the point of blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. There's not a person that I can think of that I want to see die and go to hell. There's not a person that I can think of that I've thought of, even people here right now that are lost, there are people that I thought of, man, what God could use them for, to reach others for the cause of Christ if they would get saved. I mean, I'm talking about some drunkards. I'm talking about some rough people. Those are some of the ones that make some of the best soul winners, because they believe if God can save somebody like them, God can save anybody. There's not a person that I know of, even in the White House, that I want to see die go to hell, because Christ has paid the penalty, the payment for every one of us. Every man, woman, and child that has ever lived or will live, Christ has paid that penalty. There's no need. That's why the Bible says God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they turn from their wicked way, because His Son has paid the payment for that sin. Why should anybody die and go to hell? The Bible tells us there's one. I may go look it up and add it to it. But the Bible tells us that that place is prepared for the devil and his angels. It was not a place prepared for us. God's the image, we're made in the image of God. God's image was never intended to go to hell or to the lake of fire. God's intention was that all should come to repentance. God does not want anybody in La Crosse, Kansas, Rush County, Ellis County, Albania, Southeast Asia, New York. God does not want any of those people to die and go to hell. How about it tonight?
If you die today, do you know for sure that you go to heaven? If not, I'd come to this altar tonight and call on the name of the Lord. Jesus has already paid the payment for your sins. It's just a matter of you calling on Him for salvation. Let's all stand tonight. My Heavenly Father, thank You for these and their faithfulness, God, and opportunity tonight to preach. I pray, Lord, that sinners would be saved here as well as around the world for the cause of Christ. Lord, all the bad stuff going on in the world, Lord, just reminds me that, Lord, there's a God in heaven that still loves them and wants them to be saved before it's eternally too late. Help us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.